Delilah. Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Love Someone with Delilah. Are you enjoying the lovely autumn days? After the intense heat of the summer we've recently gone through, I know I am loving autumn. I think one of the best ways to describe fall is to say that it is a treat for all of our senses. The dazzling array of colors is almost too much for my eyes to take in. So many amazing jewel tones in the trees, the bushes, the brambles, whether blanketed in thick morning mist or shining in the afternoon sun. And oh, the smells, the scents, wood smoke from the crackling fireplaces, newly baled hay piled high in my barn. We raise our own hay at our ranch. And so we have 2,000 bales piled up in the barns, freshly baked breads and pies on the counters, apple pies. Do I even need to talk about the taste of fall? Of pumpkin spice everything and sourdough loaves, of crisp apples and applesauce and apple cider. It's no wonder at all that this is the season of giving thanks. The season of giving thanks, of being grateful. There's so much to be grateful for, but let's not forget the sounds of autumn. The bird calls, the lowing cattle, all the beautiful sounds of autumn and all the great music. Late autumn is when we traditionally start playing Christmas music on my radio program, and it's a time of year I look forward to with so much anticipation. I've been around a few years to flip that switch, taking us into the holiday season, and there's nothing that reminds me how much and how long I have been in this business than when someone tells me about a big anniversary of a song or an album that in my mind just came out. You know, I think, oh, it's new music. And then I'm like, no, it's years old. Such is the case today. It's been 10 years, a full decade, since a very young, very handsome crooner from Canada dropped a Christmas album that would sell over 12 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling albums of the 21st century. And let me tell you, if we still spun vinyl in the studio, those grooves would be worn all the way through to the other side by now. It's received so much airtime, especially on my shows. It's been 10 years of Michael Bublé's Christmas, singing us through the holiday season. There's got to be some kind of celebration afoot, don't you think, for that? I guess we'll just have to check in with Michael and find out what they're doing for their anniversary. So that's what we are going to do, because Mr. Crazy Love himself is with us today on Love Someone. I can't wait to catch up on what's been going on with him since he dropped this album a few years ago. Let me give one of today's podcast sponsors a shout out for helping to make this beautiful conversation possible. And then Mr. Bublé, Mr. Bubbly, will join us. While you're making your holiday gift list, be sure to add a subscription to Annie's Kit Clubs. Kits from Annie's are the gift that gives all year long. We love the variety: young woodworkers, textiles, card making, jewelry, and so many others. They now have some great fun new holiday kits too. Annie's Kit Clubs has kits for everyone. They make it easy by sending supplies to your mailbox every month. And who doesn't love getting packages? Visit annieskitclubs.com. Use promo code RADIO for 75% off your first kit. That's annieskitclubs.com, code RADIO. Oh, my God.
It's been a long time, huh?
A long time.
Hi. I'm making a record, and it is just nonstop chaos. Can I tell you something?
Oh, my God, Michael. I miss you. I love you.
Can you text me today?
I will.
Because I need to send you the shit that I'm working on.
Okay.
Because I am freaking out, honestly.
Is it one of those times where you're going, oh my God, that's so good, I have to share it?
Yes. Yes. I'm pumped.
You're so cute.
Wait till you hear this stuff. I think it's the best. I think it's been good. How is everything? How are the kids? How is everything?
Oh, life is crazy, but we're healthy, and I thank God for that.
Yeah, same here. Life is crazy.
So how are you?
I'm good. Really good. Really good.
Do I get to know what you're working on? Are you going to wait and send it to me? Like,
oh, no,
do we
no,
get
no.
a sneak peek?
I'm going to send you a couple things that I've done. And, you know, I don't know why some records come together and some don't. And sometimes the ideas from the universe come and some don't. But one of the songs, Noah, was I was giving the kids a bath. And he said, I wrote a song, Poppy. And he started to sing it to me. And I said, wow, that's really good. No, I said, where did you hear it? He said, no, I wrote it. And he played it on the piano. And so I was working with Ryan Tedder, writing him. It was going okay. And I was like, you know what, you guys, can I just sing something that my son sang? And they looked at me like I was nuts. And 25 minutes later, I think we have my lead single.
Oh, how cool is that?
I know. Anyway, I can't say anything about it. They've told me I'm not allowed to talk.
Now, if my son, I adopted another one who's 5 now. If he were to write a song, it would go something like this. Dog poop, poopy dogs, butts, pee-pees, dog poop.
My kids are into balls right now. Balls is balls is balls with hair. I want to have one more because I'm already seeing they're growing up too fast. And I'm like, oh, no, this can't be the last. My little girl can't be the last. I'm like, oh.
One more. Maybe 2.
It all depends on what the boss.
Yeah, with the boss. Whew. How does it feel to be bossed around by the most beautiful woman in the whole world?
What an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, you are blessed. You are blessed. Do you remember when you wrote to me and told me you had met the love of your life and you were going to marry this girl?
Mm-hmm.
And then you sent me a picture. And I was like, dude, she is gorgeous. And you said, yeah, but that's not why I love her. It's the inside that I love. She's like the most wonderful thing I've ever met. But I love that you said that it was her heart that you fell in love with.
Oh, well, I mean, you don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, but you hope.
I don't know. The time I came to your show and I was to meet her backstage at the concert, she was lying on the couch, sleeping with Noah in her arms. And it was pure mother love. There's 50,000 people in the audience. You've got the suit on, the lights are flashing, everybody's screaming. And here she is holding Noah in her arms on the couch of your makeup room, sound asleep.
And that's the real, well, you know, that's real life.
Yeah.
I try to explain this to people all the time. It's like you put on the bat suit or whatever it is, you go to work, you go, you stick, the microphone goes, and then you become Delilah. It's like,
yeah.
And yes, it's who you are, but.
Yeah. I saw the pictures of Noah on his birthday and I bawled. I was on my computer scrolling and I saw him and tears just gushed. I was like, thank you. Thank you, God.
My wife thought I was crazy because she kept finding me in the bathroom and stuff. And I was a mess. I cried my eyes out. And you know what though? For no one would ever know this, but a few days after that, we had his scan, his 6-month scan. And it's always terrifying.
And?
Came back all good. And now we can breathe for another 6 months. But it's like, of course, no one would ever know. You know what I mean? We don't show that. I don't share that, you know. And then when it came good, it was like all of a sudden, I didn't give a shit about anything. I'll do the tour, I'll do whatever. It'll be fine.
So you're in Vancouver now. And the reason we got to have this little get together is because it's the 10-year anniversary. Can that be of the best Christmas album ever?
No, it can't be. It couldn't be possibly 10 years. Yeah. It's funny when I say to people, like my best friend was just like, what are you doing today? I said, oh, we're going to talk about the Christmas. He says, why? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, it's a 10-year anniversary. And he literally went, oh my God, it's been that long.
I know.
And I could see him like go like, oh God, I'm old.
Well, imagine my shock when today I Wikipedia'd you just, you know, to see if there was anything new that I should ask you about. And it had your age. And I'm like, that is not true. He's 22, maybe 24. And then I remembered that I talked to you on your 30th birthday. And then I went, oh, I have known you a long ass time, young man.
What's killing me is when people come up to me, like I'll have like what I think is a pretty mid-aged person. And they'll come up and they'll go, hi, I've been listening to you since I was a little kid. And I go like, oh,
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm old.
The first time that sensation happened to me, I was at a wedding show. They had asked me to MC a fashion show. And the bride, the young woman who was getting married, said to me, "I've been listening to you since I was a baby." And I'm like, "That's not possible." And now it's, my mom's listened to you. My grandma's listened to you. My kids listen to you. My grandkids are listening to you. I'm like, oh my God, I'm old.
That's absolutely amazing. Beautiful. Great life.
It is a great life. I'm very, very blessed. So it's the 10-year anniversary of your Christmas album. And you know, like next to Santa Claus, I own Christmas, right? You know that.
You know me. I love it so much. I love it. And you know what? My parents, they made it so great for us that I think I still have that sense of wonderment. And it's not even just that I see it through the eyes of the kids. I genuinely have that sense of wonderment. Like my tree and everything was up last Christmas in November 1st, was it?
I went through this phase last year because of all the craziness with COVID and, you know, you're not supposed to get together, blah, 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 where I realized that the wonderment of Christmas that I had always tried to create for my kids and, you know, 45, 50 people at holiday dinners and stuff, it changed. Like, I don't want to say it became a more spiritual thing, but it just became a much more heart thing for me where I was noticing details of, you know, like I got a Christmas ornament from Balsam Hill, who sponsors my show, and they had sent these Christmas ornaments and I was looking at them and I was trying to figure out how they made them. And I was noticing like the pattern of the glitter on the ornament. And I was fixated on these ornaments for like an hour or more, just looking, instead of just hanging them on the tree, I was like really taking in the craftsmanship, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing the flavors of the food.
You mean that you were living in more in the moment?
Yeah. 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 And it was so different. One of the things that I do for my kids every year, I've done this for the last 10 years or more, is Christmas pajamas that they get to open Christmas Eve and then wear on Christmas morning.
We do too. The whole family. Same onesies.
Yeah, onesies. Footied onesies.
I look like the penguin from the Danny DeVito version.
For Zach, it was like the meaning of Christmas. That really mattered to him was the footied onesies, which he proudly wore to school after Christmas break. And last year I lost them. And so the week before Christmas, I'm frantic. I'm going to every store. No store within a 200-mile radius had more than like two pair of matching pajamas. So I'm like, okay, I got to buy fabric. I got to make the pajamas. I got to do this. I got to pull it all together. And then I went, you know what? I can calm down. They don't have to match. They're in the same color scheme. That's close enough.
You said about the pajamas. One of my best friends, he fell in love with a girl who has two kids. They're 8 and 6 now. And last year for Christmas, he was, you know, it was tough. He was a new dad to them. So it was hard for him, you know, obviously, like it's a difficult position to
be. Yep.
And I didn't know what to do for him. And I wanted to do something special, but you know what? That's what I did. I went with Lou and we went and we bought the onesie pajamas. And so, of course, for me, it was very romantic. And I thought, you know what, how cute for them to spend their first Christmas together. And they're all in their same onesies. He's like 6'5", 240 pounds. So I got the biggest one. But I mean, I just thought that was the cute. That makes me very sentimental. It's funny that you said that because there's those moments that in every household, everyone has, like everyone talks about traditions and there's the tree and the this and that, but those little details are what make Christmas Christmas for us. And then when we grow up, we want to get, you know what I mean? We want to do those. Yeah. It's magic. I don't know. I feel like you have to be pretty cynical not to listen. I have more friends that are Jewish or agnostic atheists who listen to Christmas music like crazy. And they're not Christians. They don't, you know, it's not what it's about for them. but they...
Well, see, for me, I am a Christian, but I don't believe he was actually born on Christmas Day.
No, born on the 21st. No, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I don't know when, but when I adopted Sammy, one of my boys, he didn't know his birthday because he'd been in an orphanage his whole life and he had no clue when he was born. So when we're trying to do the adoption papers, the lawyer said to him, pick one of your favorite days of the year. He goes, I don't have a favorite day. He says, okay. And he picked his favorite soccer player's birthday and that became his birthday. And so on his birthday, when we got him to America, we celebrated his birthday and he was crying. We think he was 15 or 16. So we just, you know, kind of made it up as we went along. And I said, honey, are you not happy? We had a little party and friends over. And he said, I don't know what I'm feeling. It's just too much. It's just too much. It's too much feelings. It's too much. It's too much. And so, you know, I kind of brought him aside and let him process for a minute. And he said, Mommy, I didn't know what a birthday felt like.
Wow.
And after he was able to collect himself, he really enjoyed himself. He had never had balloons before. He had never had his own birthday cake before. He had never seen anyone have a birthday cake. And I thought about that because I get a little cynical about how some people get really adamant about the religious aspects of the holidays. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know when the actual day is, but just like Sammy, this is the day that we picked. So we're going to celebrate it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I'm Christian too. I don't talk about it a lot. I'm not afraid to share that I have that faith, you know, because for me, it's exciting to think that if there's some kid or somebody out there that likes me or respects me and they're afraid of sharing their faith, that if they see me do it, they might think, oh, you know, hey, he did it. That's okay. And because I've had other people that I really like and admire that have shared their view on it. And it's been given me strength. But one of the things I love most about my role here is that quietly, without ever putting it into people's face, I get to sort of in a small way, kind of, you know, give the good word.
St. Francis of Assisi said, go and spread the gospel. And if you must use words, let your life be that light that shines in the world.
Totally.
And you are that light.
Amen.
We're catching up with Michael Bublé today. He's got more to share with us, but not until I sing the praises. Well, I'll let him sing. I'm just going to tell you about one of today's podcast sponsors. As we head into the holiday season with family and friends, I invite you to reflect upon what you found to be the most meaningful this year. For me, one of those things was my involvement with an organization I absolutely love, Mercy Ships. Their work is so inspiring. Their mission is to provide free surgeries to people who don't otherwise have access to medical care. Selfless acts of love that I know is making the world a better place. You can visit mercyships.org to get inspired too. That's mercyships.org. So the 10-year anniversary of your Christmas album, and you have new music coming out, but we don't get to talk about it until when? Like, is there a...
I don't think they've even set a date, but I know that I want to send you a couple things.
Okay.
Because it's crazy. It's honestly, I think people are going to lose their minds. Fully. I think it's going to be a good time for me. I don't know what more to say. I'm too excited.
Okay. Well, when we get closer and when you can say, we'll get back together and we'll do a big thing about it.
Okay. I'd love that. Isn't it funny with Christmas music? It reminds me of rich food. When you haven't had it in a while, it is the most, you're just so excited for it. And you just can't, you eat as much as you can.
You eat 2 pieces of cheesecake from Junior's.
By the 26th of December, you don't ever want to hear it again. There are worse things than a season where people are kind. Last summer, in the heart of COVID, July, Dolly Parton called or wrote me a letter and asked if I would do a duet with her on this Christmas song that she'd written. And so I loved Dolly Parton. And the truth is, I didn't even listen to the song. I literally answered yes before ever listening to anything. And I called my manager and he said, oh, what do you think? I said, well, we're doing it. And he said, okay. And I said, you know, Bruce, I think people will need the respite from this fear, the anxiety, the loss that people are going through. People are grieving. People they're going hungry. They don't, you know. And he said to me, "Yeah, you think so?" And sure enough, I mean, you could tell people needed it. They needed it.
Well, we need it now more than ever. So let's celebrate your 10 years.
I don't say that so people will buy it. You know that. I'm not
saying that. I know.
Don't buy my record. Don't you go buy a million other records. I'm happy I can be part of it. I'm happy that I can invite me into your house.
Well, I'm going to text you after our conversation. I can't wait to hear this great stuff you're working on. And I am going to play every Christmas song you have ever recorded back to back. And one more thing, my kids asked me, Janie said to tell you she loves you, but my kids asked me to tell you that your soda water commercials are their favorite commercials ever. And Delilah Jr., who's 12, said, "Did he really do that? Does he really go in the store and change the name on the cans?" I said, "Yes, yes, he does."
Yes. Yes, I do. I think it's hilarious. And I think when people watch me do it, they go like, "Is he really doing it?" And I think it's hilarious. I only wish I had a piece, that I had like some financial piece, because it does so well and I get nothing. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, they should have given you stock.
They say, "Do you really like it? Do you actually like it?" And I say, "Yeah, of course I like it. I like it mixed with things, but I like it."
My granddaughter calls it excited water.
Oh, that's cute. Well, my kids love it because they're not allowed to drink soda or colas. So they're allowed to have the bubbly, the buble. And of course, they just think it's the coolest thing in the world that they get to have the big guy drink. You know?
Yeah. My daughter, Shayla, is like the world's best mom. I kid you not. And she is the sugar Nazi. She is the health food Nazi.
Yeah.
Her kids are the healthiest kids. They don't eat junk, and she hand makes everything.
How do you deal with that? Because we're tough. Me and my wife are tough on nutrition and all that. And then they go to my mom's house, to grandma's, or they go with my wife.
I can't really be that grandma because I still have little kids at home.
Well, like, of course you can't. Yeah, you can't. You have to set the precedent.
Yeah.
Of course.
But I have a lot more junk food or stuff that would not be acceptable to my son and my daughter's standards, because like if there's more than three ingredients on a package, they don't buy it, which I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's good. Yeah. Well, my wife's sister's a nutritionist. And so she's always been really basically exactly what you said. If you read the labels.
Yeah. My sister said this years ago and it stuck in my head. She says, just shop the perimeter of the store. Don't ever go in the aisles. If you just shop the perimeter where the meats and the fish and the veggies are, you're safe. It's when you go down the aisles and the Triscuits jump out or the, you know.
Why are Triscuits and Velveeta so delicious?
Why are they so damn good?
So delicious.
So good.
Like I could live on, honestly, you know what? I could live on macaroni and cheese with like a tuna fish and a little crack. Oh,
that, yeah.
If you said to me, listen, this is what you have to eat every day, I would say, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Everything's good when it sits on a Ritz, you know, and the canned cheese whiz crap. I can't help myself, Michael.
When do we get to live in the time like it was in the early 1600s where the bigger you were, the sexier you were, you know? I'm looking for that to come into fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we bring that back?
It's like macaroni and cheese for the rest of my days.
I make the bomb mac. My daughter, Lanika, makes the best macaroni and cheese I've ever had in my life. But mine is a close second.
What does she do? What do you do? What's your ingredients?
Well, I use like five different kinds of cheese.
Well, you're talking the real. You're doing the real thing.
Yeah, I mix it up. But my secret is I boil the noodles in chicken broth.
Oh, yummy. Yeah.
So the noodles have like a flavor to them.
I'm really happy I had a vegetable smoothie for breakfast.
I bet you're just thinking, wow, and I might have another one for lunch. But no, Lonnie, she puts Tabasco sauce in her cheese sauce. Like she cooks the cheese sauce separately, you know? She taught me how to do this. And then she puts Tabasco sauce and garlic and a touch of Worcestershire sauce. Yeah.
My secret is simply Velveeta slices on top of the cheese. And a can of tuna fish. I know it sounds weird, but I take a can of tuna fish. It's almost like a casserole. And then I just take some Ritz crackers,
yeah, and crumble them on the top.
The little saltines. I don't really know. I don't think we should even have. If we do a show, we shouldn't do music. It should just be this. It should just be food.
As we digress into Velveeta, Michael, Christmas album, 10-year anniversary, but there's a couple of treats that go with that.
Yeah. Well, one of the treats was that I had never recorded Let It Snow on an actual studio recording. I had years ago, but I didn't love it. I was 25. It was really kind of basic. And so I had written this arrangement that I would do on stage, and it was always full of energy and fun. And so that's what I wanted to do, that. And I have another song called Christmas Sweater that comes out in conjunction with a movie that's being released.
What movie?
I don't even know what it's called. I watched it and I liked it. It's weird and cool.
You're not a star in it. You just sang a song for it.
I helped write the song. But it was fun for me, to have a couple new kind of really cool versions of kind of like one of them's original. So it's very cool. It's very, I don't know how to explain it. Very Bondy. And then the other one is Let It Snow, which I've always loved. So that's what is happening. Those two are coming, and I shot some videos and stuff and some that I've never done that either for Christmas. I've never had a music video.
What?
No, I've never made a music video. I did these little vignettes where I had little pieces, like 20 seconds of songs, but I'd never had a Christmas video. And so I sat with my friends and come up with these really cool ideas of bringing it into a cool world, fast moving, fast paced, fun. Of course, it's weird. Now everything's about my kids. So when I did the videos and I recorded the songs, all I could think about was, will my kids like this? Would my kids want to watch it? And literally, as I was writing it and putting it together, I kept showing them the clips and saying, like, what do you think? Because they're so earnest and they don't lie. And so if there was a part that was boring or didn't move fast enough or the music wasn't there, they'd go, oh, Poppy, what happens next? And because it's in this new world we live in, I feel like people's attention spans are so, there's
like
so
a gnat.
Much, well, there's so much to see and so much that you can access online that it has to feel like it's moving. So my kids are basically my directors, my writers somehow.
But it's better stuff, isn't it? When they're centered in it, it's better stuff.
It totally is. And they're my harshest critics and my biggest allies. So I feel pretty blessed to have them.
Well, I can't wait to hear the songs, watch the video, play your music, and have a fabulous holiday season. I love you.
I love you. I love you, and I love getting to talk to you. And it's been too long, to be honest.
Well, we're going to stay in touch.
I don't know why you haven't written me.
Oh, I don't know. COVID! Homeschooling!
Okay. That might be a good excuse. That just made, actually, I've said the same thing to other people. Like, what? Where have you been?
Yeah. Homeschooling.
Can I tell you something that I don't know if you're going to, what you're going to do or how you're going to cut this or what, but I find interviews with you, not difficult, but it feels like it's not an interview. And then I have to censor myself because it feels like I'm just catching up with you on Zoom. And then there's stuff that I say, and it's like my language, all of it, that I have to go like, no.
Yeah. Well, Jenny called me this morning to say that she loves you and to say you are not allowed to spend the entire interview flirting with him because that's not okay. I'm like, God, but he's just so yummy.
Like a potato.
All right, my little potato. I love you. I'm going to text you, okay?
No, and I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. Michael Bublé and I first spoke many years ago, more than 20 years ago, when he was just beginning to be recognized as a super talent in the U.S. Canadians had known about him for a little while, but we were just discovering his suave, debonair goodness. It has been incredible to watch his star rise, his talent expand, to see him and his beautiful family grow. Through it all, Michael has remained a steady hockey fan, a good friend, a beloved entertainer, funny as anything, and one of the kindest people I've ever known. I'm going to celebrate the anniversary of his album, Christmas, just as joyfully as all of you will. And I'll be singing right along with him on all my favorites. And I so look forward to the release of Let It Snow and Christmas Sweater. And if we get a new album from him in 2022, that will be more reason to celebrate all things Bublé. Like, I need a reason. Oh, he's so sexy. He's so debonair. He's so cool. I hope all of you are taking a moment or two each day to soak in the rich abundance that fall has to offer. I like to make it a practice to look for three things a day that I can be thankful for. Positive things. It's not hard during this time of year. A leaf, a beautiful, perfect golden leaf on the sidewalk. A curl of smoke coming out of a chimney, pumpkins on a doorstep, pumpkin pie in my oven. Whatever it is that catches your eye, let it soak in and touch your heart. Thank you for stopping by, my friends. I will catch up with you soon. Take some time out of your daily schedule to slow down and love someone.